I know the length of this, I'm hesitant, but it was so good. I thought, this is how we should treat our Christian leaders and our Christian heritage when we find flaws. Let me read Calvin's letter, and then I'll come back to Luther on that. Heinrich Bullinger, who's the successor to Zwingli after he's killed in battle in Zurich, writes to Calvin because Luther's being very mean-spirited. And he's writing all these things about the Reformed Christians in Switzerland that are not too nice. And so he says, what do we do with Luther? And Calvin responds, and I think in a very wise way, he says, on the present occasion, I dare scarce venture to ask you to keep silence, because it is neither just that innocent persons should thus be harassed, nor that they should be denied the opportunity of clearing themselves. So I'm not telling you to be quiet and not answer back. Just remember, when you do answer, to have respect. Neither, on the other hand, is it easy to determine whether it should be prudent for them to do so. But of this, I do earnestly desire to put you in mind, in the first place, that you would consider how eminent a man Luther is, and the excellent endowments wherewith he is gifted, and with what strength of mind and resolute constancy, with how great skill, with what efficiency and power of doctrinal statement, he had hitherto devoted his whole energy to overthrow the reign of Antichrist, that is, the Pope and the papacy and the Catholic system, and at the same time to diffuse far and near the doctrine of salvation. We are indebted to Luther, is what he's saying, for a great deal that God used him for. Often have I been wont or known to declare that even although he were to call me a devil, I should still not the less hold him in such honor that I must acknowledge him to be an illustrious servant of God. But while he is endued with rare and excellent virtues, he labors at the same time under serious faults. Would that he had rather studied to curb this restless, uneasy temperament, which is so apt to boil over in every direction. I wish, moreover, that he had always bestowed the fruits of that vehemence of natural temperament upon the enemies of the truth, and that he had not flashed his lightning sometimes also upon the servants of the Lord. Would that he had been more observant and careful in the acknowledgement of his own vices. And this is the last one, last paragraph. Flatterers have done him much mischief, since he is naturally too prone to be overindulgent to himself. It is our part, however, so to reprove whatsoever evil qualities may beset him, is that we may make some allowance for him at the same time on the score of these remarkable endowments with which he has been gifted. This, therefore, I would beseech you to consider, first of all, along with your colleagues, that you have to do with a most distinguished servant of Christ, to whom we are all of us largely indebted. I think this is how we need to deal with history. The more I read church history, the more I realize we are flawed creatures. Even those of us who have been regenerated and converted, we still deal with the flesh and natural tendencies towards sin. We're prone to wander. We're prone to make mistakes. And we have to be very careful not to let pride slip in and think we're more intelligent or better off or more wise than some of these people. It's a sin that has entered the thoughts of many people, including God's redeemed. And Luther was one of these individuals. And some of the very character traits that God humanly had instituted in him, biologically and through experience and all, that he used to bring about the Reformation, are the same traits that show what a great sinner he was and how great God's grace in his life was. And I think we can do that with a lot of these people of the past. They had their flaws. Today, we look around us, and what Christian leader out there does not have flaws today? In my own life, I stand before you not because I'm a great man or because I'm better than anyone else. In fact, sometimes the devil tries to shame you into thinking, what are you doing up there? And yet God has graciously chosen individuals that are flawed to teach and to preach and to communicate his gospel, because it's all of him. It's all of grace. And I think this is a good lesson for us. Yep, it is.